speaking and I'm given the opportunity to talk with you guys, one of the things that I always ask the Lord is just show me something that's relevant and meaningful to me. And it was neat this time because I think the Lord's given me something. It's just really along the area of some of the things that he's been speaking to me about and working in my life about. And I think it ties in a little bit with Valentine's Day as well, too. And so I'm hoping that that's a win-win. I'm believing that it is. Before I get started, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence here, Lord. We thank you that, as Rick said, Lord, we thank you that you are love, Lord. And when we study you and we learn about you, Lord, we get a revelation of love, Lord, that it becomes so meaningful and so vital to us, Heavenly Father. So as we talk about living a life of love today, Lord, we declare that your word has life, Lord, and that as we study your word and the message that it brings, Lord, we declare that we receive revelation, Lord, that's not just a momentary revelation, not just temporary revelation, Lord, but life-changing, permanent revelation that writes your word on our hearts, Lord. We declare it to be now in your name. Amen. Let's start by turning to 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6. This is the New King James. We'll start in verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, ought also to walk just as he walked. You know, it's not just what we say that proves that we know Jesus and proves that we are abiding in Jesus. It's how we walk. It's our entire lifestyle, right? You'll know people that profess Jesus and their lifestyle backs it up, right? Hopefully you're one of those people as well, too. That's my goal. But this church is full of people like that. They profess Jesus, and it's not just words. Their lifestyle backs it up. The way they react in situations, the way they order their relationships, their finances, their family, whatever, it's living proof that they know Jesus, that they're abiding in Christ. But you'll also probably know some people that are the other way, right? They might say, yeah, I know Jesus, I'm close to Jesus. But sometimes their words and their actions at other times will speak otherwise, right? The Bible says, if we're abiding in Jesus, we will live as he lived. And that last verse, that verse 6 says, he who abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. So if we're abiding in Jesus, our lifestyle is going to be impacted, right? Our lifestyle should be a tangible proof that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Once we enter into relationship with Christ, if our lives don't change, we haven't begun to know him yet, right? That's an important thing. So we're going to look a little bit at how Jesus lived to see how our lives should look. Let's read 1 John 2, verse 6. Again, this is in the New Living. We are at first in the New King James. It says it a little differently. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Well, how did Jesus live his life? First and foremost, he lived a life of love. Ephesians 5:2 says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. You know, the love that Jesus showed us by coming to earth and sacrificing his life so we could have a relationship with God the Father. That was the most real expression of love. It was total self-denial. It was just complete surrender to the will of the Father. 1 John 3:16, again, this is a common verse. We know this. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Very similar verse, Mark 10:45 says, even the Son of Man, that's referring to Jesus, came not to be served but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's you and me. So Jesus didn't live for himself. He didn't seek to do his own will. He lived to do the will of the Father. He lived to serve others and give his life away to others. John 6:38, I know there's several verses right here, but they all tie in so nicely. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. So these verses all together, if we're to look at them and summarize them, really what they're saying is Jesus lived to give himself away, right? He lived to live a life of love, to serve others, and to give himself away. People who don't have a relationship with Christ, it's difficult for them to understand that. That concept of living to give yourself away doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense, because a lot of the messages in the world are really opposite of that, aren't they? It's figure out what you want to do in life, figure out what makes you happy, and then go get it, right? Work for that thing, pursue that thing, whatever it is that you want, go and get it, because that's the thing that's going to make you happy. That's the thing that's going to cause you to be fulfilled. And the concept of living to give your life away could potentially be seen as pointless or weak or really not in your own best interests at all. Living a life of love in that way is not really a life of human wisdom, right? It might mean getting walked over. It might mean taken advantage of. But when you're surrendering your life, when you're giving a life your life away for others, you're operating on a different plane. It's a different level. You have a different mentality, and you're not looking out for your own best interests first. You're looking to put others first. Amen? So Jesus lived his life like that. And the neat thing is when we look at his life, it was wonderful. He lived a good life, right? He walked the earth in total victory. The Bible says that. The Bible says he defeated Satan and Satan's works at every turn. So wherever he encountered evil, he defeated that thing. Every place he walked when he was in ministry, he loved people, and then he made the blind to see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, all those things, right? Where there was hopelessness, he brought hope. Where there was bondage, he brought freedom, right? Where there was dark places in people's lives or dark places in communities, he brought light into those situations. And really, he brought victory in places where previously there had only been defeat. And so, he didn't live a life of defeat and being walked over and a life of discouragement. Rather, his life was a life of victory. You know, the world will try and convince us it's more rewarding to live for ourselves, right? If you spend any amount of time consuming, you know, popular music, movies, time on the internet, whatever, it's often a subtle message, but that is the message for sure, that you get more stuff, and the more you achieve, and the more secure your place in life becomes, the happier you're going to be. And most of all, you need to look out for yourself because no one else will, right? That's a very common message. You need to look out for yourself because really in the end, you can't count on anyone else to do that. And Jesus proved the opposite is true. He lived, I believe, the most rewarding life in history, and he did it by living a life of love and by giving himself away. The neat thing is the Bible says if you choose to live a life of love as Jesus did, you can have the same experiences that he had. You can also have that rewarding life. This is a very familiar verse to us. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. So if you choose to live that way, you're not going to be cheated of the good things in life. On the contrary, I think you can enjoy the most thrilling life of victory and the most rewarding life that's possible. Amen? I'll do my best not to spill this week. When you do that, you'll experience God pouring out his power through you. You'll know the joy of the Lord. That's an amazing thing. You know, the life of an overcomer, the life of someone living in victory, is really a life worth living. When I talk about that, that appeals to me, and I hope it does to you. So what we're going to do is we're gonna just look at some keys, or the main key to living that rewarding life, a life where you're giving yourself away, but ultimately it results just in blessing. The key, I believe, is to abide and bear fruit, and so we're going to spend some time talking about that, and we alluded to that in the very first verse we read. You know, as you set your sights on living a life of love, it's really encouraging to know that to be a loving person and to live a life of love isn't something you have to struggle to attain. And that might seem like a strange statement at first, but the God kind of love is not a love that we can create in our lives through our own efforts. The kind of love that Jesus showed when he walked as a man here on earth was not something that through his own willpower, he just did everything he could choose to not sin and to love people when they were mean to him or when they were unkind to him, or to show love in places where it was really difficult to show love. That wasn't a struggle for him to do that. It was actually a fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible lists love as the very fruit of the Spirit. Let's read those. That's Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is first love, then joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, the fruit of the Spirit are the natural outgrowth of the life of God in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, all those things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When the Spirit of God is placed in our lives, that is the natural outcome. Actually, the fruit of the Spirit are placed in your life the moment you become born again. Do you know that? It's part of your reborn nature. When you receive the Spirit of God in the salvation experience, your spirit's made in the image of God. I'll show you some verses that support that. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So God put, what is His Spirit? Well, God's Spirit is His divine nature. It's that empowerment for right living, and that gets placed inside of us when we become born again. And the fruit of the Spirit are the characteristics of that nature, the characteristics of God's divine nature. So if you ever have the thought, I wonder what God is like, well, look to the fruit of the Spirit, because those are the characteristics of His nature. So if you want to know what God is like, well, God is love, He's joy, He's peace, He's long-suffering, He's kind, He's good, He's faithful, He's gentle, and He has self-control. 1 John 4:13 says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. I really like how the Amplified Bible really makes that whole aspect of the fruit of the Spirit being imparted to us by God's Spirit. Galatians 5:22, I'll just read the first part of the verse. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is the result of His presence in us. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of God's presence in our lives. Now we can think about that statement and we can say, okay, well, if that's the case, I've been a believer for many years. Perhaps you're a new believer, perhaps been walking with the Lord for years or even decades, and why are these things not more evident in my life? I don't always feel like I have self-control. I always don't feel like I walk in gentleness. I don't always feel like I'm kind when I should be kind in situations. And it can sometimes seem like a struggle, right? I know I won't ask for a show of hands, but I can put my hand up. You know, there's many times where I think, man, if you look back in a situation, I could have done that better, right? No matter how hard, if we're trying to make that come out and to make the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives just by our own struggle, it's not going to work too well. Fruit bearing doesn't come that way. I was thinking of the illustration just of a fruit tree. I don't know how many of you guys have fruit trees in your yard. We have some apple trees at one end of the garden. Of course, we have fruit bushes and that sort of thing. But I've never been walking in the garden and, you know, kind of heard maybe a groaning sound and turned and seen an apple tree just like, you know, just trying to push out an apple on its branch, you know, just trying to bear fruit. It just doesn't happen like that, right? Now, it might seem like kind of a silly picture, but the truth is, for an apple branch to bear fruit, all it does is just has to stay connected to the tree, right? The branch does not have to do anything else other than stay connected to the tree. And because the tree represents life, and the tree has the conditions for life, which is sunlight and water, that tree is going to bear fruit. That apple is going to show up on that branch. According to Jesus, the very same thing is true for us. Just as the tree is a source of life for the branch, being connected to Jesus, abiding in Jesus, that's our source of life, and that's how we bear fruit. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? So we're the branches, we bear fruit. Jesus is the vine, He's the source of life. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. And when you're thinking of fruit, again, think of the fruit of the Spirit. We're not wanting anyone to start growing apples off their arms, nothing like that. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. If we choose, we purpose to stay connected to our source of life, that's how we're going to bear fruit. It's not a struggle. It's not a stress. It's not something that there's a strain in it. It's the force of God's Spirit inside of us, causing that love and that impartation that's inside of us to develop on the outside. So the fruit of the Spirit that's already on the inside, as we yield to that, then that fruit becomes manifest or becomes shown. Manifest just means to make shown so you can see it, becomes manifest on our outsides, right? So we experience the reality of it, and people around us experience the reality of it. So we can live the life of love, not by putting forth a great effort, but simply by abiding in Jesus. And when we focus our efforts not on bearing fruit, but if we focus our efforts on staying in union in Jesus and staying connected to Jesus, which are words for abiding in Jesus, that's how we're going to bear fruit. And we'll, not just a little bit, but the Bible says we'll bear fruit abundantly because we'll have something to give away. John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. Well, that's part of what Jesus is talking about. It's not just a little bit of fruit, but abundant fruit. You stay connected, you stay abided in Jesus, the good things, those characteristics of Jesus' divine nature that we talked about, there won't just be a little bit of that in your life, but it will be abundant. It'll be all over your life. People will recognize it from far away, and they'll know something's different about you. So if that is the case, if staying connected to Jesus, abiding in Jesus, is the way we're going to bear fruit, man, that needs to be a priority for us, doesn't it? You know, once we understand that the fruit of the Spirit is the only way that we're going to grow, abiding in Jesus is the only way we're going to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, it'll mean that we become more diligent in spending time with Him. Sunday won't be the only time where you think about spiritual things and perhaps spend a little bit of time in prayer or a little bit of time talking to Jesus or worshiping, fellowshipping with Jesus. You'll want to do that during the week. You realize how vital that connection is, right? You'll draw near to Him because you realize that that life of love that you want to live is only developed from consistent relationship with Jesus, consistent connection with Him. Really, if you want to have an unbroken connection with Jesus, if you want to stay connected to that vine all the time, it comes from walking with Him all day long. We don't ever want to break that connection, right? Think going back to the analogy of a fruit tree. If you break a branch off a fruit tree, the moment that branch is broken off, it starts to wither, it starts to die, right? John 15:16 says, "Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So the word wither means to shrivel, to die up, to lose its source of energy, or to lose energy, or to lose its freshness. So it's so important to stay connected to Jesus, because the moment we have a disconnect in that area, we lose our life, we lose our energy, we lose our freshness, we lose that connection that we have. You know, it doesn't matter how close to the vine you are. If that vine is, if you break a vine off a fruit tree, a branch off a fruit tree, and it lays on the ground, does it matter whether it's 6 inches away, or 2 feet away, or 5 feet away? It doesn't matter at all. It must be connected, right? So, if we're not having that daily connection with the Lord, if our mentality is, well, I'll stay pretty close to Jesus. I'll think about Him every once in a while. Close doesn't count in this case. You got to be connected, or you're going to start to wither. You're going to start to dry up. Amen? Oftentimes, how that happens, it's not a conscious decision where we're going to say, I think I'm just going to, I've got a lot going on in my life. I think I'm going to draw back from Jesus for just a few days. I don't ever recall thinking a thought like that. It's usually just the busyness of our week, right? The busyness of what we find ourselves in. It might be extra hours that we're needing to put in at work. It might be some activities that our family might be preparing for travel, coming back from travel. It could be all kinds of things that are going on in our lives. But typically, it's just there's busyness in our lives that we let creep in, and we don't allow that time for prayer and spending time in God's Word. We become preoccupied with just the natural things around us, and through a lack of discipline, we just disconnect from spending time with the Lord. And immediately, the Bible says, we begin to wither when that happens. You know, we still belong to the Lord. We're still His children. We still have His Spirit in us, but because His energy is not flowing through us, we're going to stop bearing that fruit. That fruit is not going to be evident in our lives like it once was. We don't have to live that way, though. If we make time with our Lord, our number one priority, we can produce fruit in our lives, and we can live a life of love. And as a result, it won't be just a blessing to us, but it'll be a blessing to the people around us. When they're in need of love, because we're bearing fruit, and love is the first fruit of the Spirit, then that love will flow through us, and it'll impact them. I want to talk about the fact that the choice is ours. You know, although the Spirit of Jesus produces the fruit of the love in our lives, we need to be careful not to make the mistake of thinking that we can just sit back and let it happen. It's a natural process that takes place when we're connected, but we still have a part to play. You know, the apple tree doesn't take up the responsibility of growing fruit. If the branch is not bearing fruit, the apple tree doesn't say, "Well, I guess I'm just going to grow some apples right off my trunk here because I've got no other choice." You'll never grow up to an apple tree to see the trunk covered in apples, right? It's still the branch's responsibility to bear fruit, and the Bible says that we are the branches. Let's read Romans 6:11-14. "So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin, and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, for now you have new life. So use your whole body as your instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. There's a whole lot in these verses that indicate that we have a hard part to play. There's words, consider yourselves, do not let, do not give in, give yourself to God, do what is right. All those words and those phrases make it clear that we have a part to play. We have a major part to play in staying connected to the vine and bearing fruit. You know, we said earlier that God put his divine nature in us, and the fruit of the Spirit are characteristics of that nature. However, it's so important that we do our part to yield to that life, to yield to that Spirit of God that's in us. It's an act of our will. It's a choice that we make to let God's Spirit inside us manifest and make that the fruit of the Spirit that's been deposited in our lives shown on the outside. It's a conscious decision that we need to make to say, Lord, I yield to your Spirit, and I declare that fruit will be manifest in my life. You know, when someone says something that's maybe unkind to you, or you feel it was kind of unwarranted, you have a decision at that point. Are you going to yield to the temptation, to the possibility that you could just kind of respond in kind and say something similar back to them and kind of respond to them in the same way that you spoke to you? Or will you respond in love? Will you yield to the Holy Spirit and choose to bear fruit in that situation? The answer to that question, there's two factors. The first is the choice you make. You have a choice to make. And the second condition is, what is the state of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? Are you connected to the vine, or are you starting to wither? Romans 8, 5-6 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So if you've been neglecting your time with God, if you've been neglecting time in the Word, become too busy, say consuming the world's entertainment, or just too busy working or doing whatever it is that causes you busy, in that moment you might find yourself too weak to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can find yourself too weak to bear fruit in that situation, and you end up responding in a way that you shouldn't. But if you've been abiding in the vine, if you've spent time in God's Word, if your spirit is strong, your heart will be strong, the condition of your heart will be strong, and you'll be really full of the spiritual energy because you're connected, just to really respond in a loving way in that situation. That needs to be our goal. Again, John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. So that's actually a promise from God's Word, right? If you want to produce that love and that joy and peace, you have a promise. Abide in Christ. Stay connected to God's Spirit, that deposit that's in you. Spend time in the Word. You're going to bear that fruit. It's not something you have to guess about. It's not something you have to have any hesitancy about. We have a promise from God's Word. If you do that, you will bear that fruit. Just a closing thought, a little more related to Valentine's Day. As I mentioned, I received some Hershey Kisses this morning, and of course I gave my children little Valentine's cards that I made up last night. And probably the same is true for you guys, right? If you're in a loving relationship, you probably wrote a note, gave a card, wrote a letter, something like that, to someone that you really care for. And I found something neat yesterday as I was researching this, that it is God's plan that we become living love letters to others in the world. You guys know that? You ever heard that before? It's God's plan that we become living love letters, just like we express feelings of love and just the care, the deep care that we have for each other, to each other. God's design, you and me, when we live in love, when we stay abiding in the vine, connected to Jesus, that we would be a visible result and really just like a love letter to the world around us. That scripture is in Corinthians 3:2-3. Let's read that. The only letter of recommendation we need is you ourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. That was pretty neat. So when God's Spirit is in us, we are a living love letter to the world. That fruit that is so visible in our lives, that love, that joy and peace, what that says the world around us is that, man, God is real and He's working in their lives. And they're not just seeing us experience the reality of God's love, but they themselves are experiencing the reality of God's love. That's a powerful thing. So if you choose to stay connected to Jesus Christ, He's your vine. He's your source of life. Just like the branch needs to stay connected to that tree, the love of God will naturally become evident in your life. That is a natural byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit. You can count on that happening. That's an awesome thing. Let's stand.